محمد وآل محمد صلوات
الله وسلم على محمد وآل محمد.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على نبينا أبي القاسم محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We are here tonight to remember an imam who is least remembered during the year. He is either remembered on this night or on the night of his wafat. He is our second imam and the first child of Imam Ali and Imam Fatima Zahra, Imam Hassan, who was born in third Hijrah on 15th of Ramadan. So early in the morning tomorrow is the birth time of our Imam alayhi salam, and he is the first child of Janabi Fatima Zahra. Therefore you can imagine the delight and joy and pleasure that the Prophet had when the news came to him that Imam Hassan alayhi salam is born. Unfortunately, very little is said about him, and it was a further misfortune that he became a target of so many misunderstandings and criticism that even our own historians have portrayed Imam Hassan alayhi salam as, na'udhu billah, someone who was least interested in the affairs of Ummah, and he wanted a restful life. What we do not know is that the history of our Imam alayhi salam after the passing away of our Prophet is interlinked, events leading to the events till our 12th Imam. And when we read history, we must try to understand that we are reading history of a living community. Even today, if you do not know the history of your own community, you are a dead community. Here, there are so many youngsters, they don't know what their grandfathers did for this community. We have a record of what they have done for this community when we were in East Africa, or for that matter in other parts of Africa. Now that record, when it is brought for the first time before the grandchildren to say that this is what your grandfather did for this community, for this religion, it's a matter of pride, it's a matter of delight, and it is also an inspiration. I feel inspired because my elders did something for this community when it was so small. Therefore, while history assures, or rather ensures, the life of a community based on which people go on working, leaving behind their own history which will be remembered by the posterity, so much has been wasted in the Shia community because it has not been noted down. We think we are living in a contemporary era, therefore it is of least importance. For example, the coming of Mu'mineen from 1972 downwards from Uganda is an exodus, which is a history. And how they settled themselves here, what were the trauma of early days when they came, how they formed themselves into Jamaat, how there was a hired and rented place, What were the difficulties of purchasing a property? And thereafter, how did we arrive at Stedmore? That seems to be a contemporary history. But if you write 100 years hence, people, when they read, they will then realize what is the value of the information you are giving. So when we read history, we don't read it as stories. We read it knowing that each event had something to contribute for the following events. In the time of the Prophet, there were no civil wars. The wars were between the faiths. If the Jews wanted to destroy Islam, then there was a battle between the Muslims and the Jews. If the Mushrikeen of Makkah wanted to destroy Islam, there was a war between the Mushrikeen of Makkah and Muslims. There was nothing like civil war. When you say, in Urdu they call it Khana Jangi. That means when Muslims fight Muslims, or the same nation has a breakout of riot, or mutiny, or rebellion, each at the throat of the other. When the Prophet passed away, there was a brief episode of Riddah, where Malik bin Nuwayra was killed by Khalid bin Walid, but that also subsided. Then, the whole army moved out of Medina, what is called conquest of Islam. I don't want to discuss the conquests and the victories which took place in Iran and other parts. It's another subject altogether. What happened is, when Ali ibn Abi Talib salawatullahi wasalamu alayhi became Khalifa, that means Zahiri Khilafat, as we say, when Usman was assassinated, what we don't know is that there were so many people who were aspiring the Khilafah. They thought they will be selected. Imam Ali al-Islam was at home. Uthman had been besieged. And the first thing the Muslims did was to stop water supply. They stopped water supply to Uthman. And the besiege went for 40 days. And people came to Ali ibn Abi Talib, who was at home, because Ali had already advised Uthman what to do so that there is no episode. Uthman conceded, came to Mimbar and said, Ali has advised me, I say Astaghfirullah Rabbi wa atubu ilayh, and I will not repeat my errors. And the moment Mawla went home, Marwan wrote a letter and turned the whole table. People came to know that Ali's advice is not heeded. So Mawla was at home when he came to know that Uthman has no water. He asked his three sons, Muhammad ibn Hanafiya, Al-Hasan and Al-Husayn, go take water, for water must be supplied to a Muslim. You can't allow any human being to die of thirst. When these three came with water, the opposition which besieged the house could not stop. They said, these are Banu Hashim. They are children of the Prophet. Don't stop them. The water supply to Uthman was from Banu Hashim and from Ali ibn Abi Talib. When Uthman was finally killed, one of those who killed him was the son of Abu Bakr. His name is Muhammad ibn Abu Bakr. Held him by the beard and cut it. And as he drew his sword to hit him, Uthman's wife intervened. Her fingers were also cut together. Now, sitting at the mosque, everyone was thinking that I'm going to ascend the throne. I will be elected the Khalifa. And Ali ibn Abi Talib was at home. One man stood up and said, don't you feel ashamed that you ever think of sitting at a place where, even from the time of Abu Bakr till today, there is no one more deserving than Ali ibn Abi Talib. cutting the story short, in Nahjul Balagha, Mawla says, they rushed upon me. The people of Medina rushed upon me, asking me to accept Khilafah, till they trampled upon my toes. That means they trampled upon my feet. I was hurt in my toes. Hatta wata'u alal hasanain. This hasanain is not Hasan Imam Hasan. These are called also hasanain. Ya Ali, Ya Ali, Ya Ali, Aliyun Sayyiduna, Aliyun Imamuna. This is how they started. Now, always pray, my friends, always pray to Allah that don't have a friend who is a munafiq. Always pray. If you don't have a friend, you are lucky. But if you have a friend, pray to Allah that he should not be a hypocrite. The first man who came was Zubair and Talha. Zubair is Imam Ali's cousin. And Talha, they came and they kept a hand on his hand and they said, Bakhin bakhin laka ya Amir al-Mu'mineen. Now normally, you have got to keep the right hand. This man kept the left hand. And Mawla said, may Allah save me from this left hand. Fine. Everything was alright. For a few days, Ali, 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 everywhere. But then people started thinking as to what is going to happen now. Be with me for a few minutes. Because I'm giving you a summary of what you can read in history and enjoy. But I'm just giving you history in nutshell. That they are waiting for the first distribution. First distribution of Islamic wealth, Baitul Mal. Till now, people were getting privileges. Some were getting fat checks. Some were getting pieces of land. Now they are waiting for Ali. And Ali ibn Abi Talib sat in the Baitul Mal himself with no one except Ammar. And he started checking. And he found that this much is the wealth. And he started counting the people in Medina who were there, Ashab and Muhajireen. And around it came to 3 dirham per head. Now if a man is getting 100,000... Three dirham per head, including his own, as a khalifa, including his own. He said, Ammar, this is yours, this is mine, 3, and take the rest. Now one of those people who got 3 dirham was Talha and Zubair. When Talha got his 3 dirham, he said, Wahid, Tinain, Talata, that's all. And the other man also, his friend also, he Wahid, he's just joking, huh? It's the name, Talata, that's all. Then each asked the other, shall we become the governors of Basra and Kufa? With this man? Because if they did not get Khilafah, they wanted governorship of Basra and Kufa. So they came to see Mawla at night. And they found Ali ibn Abi Talib saying at that time, Ya Allah, be my witness that I have swept the whole Baitul Mal and there isn't a dirham or dinar still which I have not reached the poor fellow. I am going to now pray 2 rakat namaz. And he prayed 2 rakat namaz in the place where there was no money, shukrana, that I have been relieved my debt. They looked at each other. And then Imam alayhi salam looked at these 2 gentlemen and said, you got some work with me? He said, yes. He put out the candle and lighted another candle and they asked, Ya Ali, what is the philosophy? He said, the philosophy is this, that when I was working for the Muslims, the candle was from the Muslims' wealth. Now that I'm going to speak on personal basis, it is from my own pocket. When he said this, they looked at each other and signaled that we should now leave because there isn't going to be anything. And they left without mentioning Basra or a bee of Basra. Now where to go? So the event, there was only one thing. The event turned. They said, it is Ali who killed Uthman, therefore we must ask Uthman, Ali, to apprehend those who killed Uthman. He is the one who engineered the plot, and he is responsible. If he does not arrest them, then we will stand in vengeance. And this is how Jang-e Jamal started. Aisha, the mother of the faithfuls, the wife of the Prophet, few months before the killing of Uthman, used to say, "Uqtulu hadal yahud hadan na'fal." Kill this Jew, that means Uthman. He's a na'fal, he's a Jew. But when Uthman was killed, she was not there in Medina. She was in Mecca. She came to know that Uthman has been killed. She said, "Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alamin." And Ali has become Khalifa, say, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un." Now, these parties, Talha and Zubair, powerful from here, Aisha, powerful from there, they united, made a front against Ali ibn Abi Talib. For 4 years and 9 months and 20 days, Mawla's Khilafat is how many days? 4 years, 9 months and 20 days, and out of these 4 years, 9 months and 20 days, 3 years in battles and fighting. Which fighting? Civil war. Muslims against Muslims. For the first time in the days of Ali ibn Abi Talib, they brought in civil war in Islam. And Mawla wanted to avoid this at all costs. That Muslim sword must not fall on a Muslim. He used to come to Jamal and stand and say, "Oh Muslims, why should we fight?" And they would not listen. So there was Jang-e Jamal. Of course, those who came against Ali ibn Abi Talib, they were all defeated. But at what cost? For what cost? When Talha and Zubair came to Ali ibn Abi Talib, Ali said, "Zubair, his auntie's son, that means Puyi's son, Zubair's mother, and Abu Talib, they were sister, brother and sister. Zubair, why are you out to kill me? Why are you out to fight me?" He said, "Because Uthman is among those 10 people who have been given the good news of Jannah." You see, there is one hadith concocted, manufactured hadith, which is called hadith of Ashra Mubashara. Ashra Mubashara means these 10 people will go to Jannah at all costs. That the Prophet said, these 10 will go to Jannah. It was a hadith circulating. So he said, "Ya Ali, Uthman was one from the Ashara Mubashara." Right? "He has been killed. We must avenge for his blood." The Mawla said, "Now give me the names of those Ashara." So they gave the name. He said, "Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman." Then they gave the name of others. Fulan, 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 9 names. So Mawla said, "These are 9. Who is the 10th? So he scratched his head and said, "10th is yourself." So Mawla said, "If I am also among those, then what justification for killing me or fighting me?" So Zubair left the army. Zubair left the army, deserted his army. He was killed on the way. So you can imagine civil war taking place. Here, Jamal was over and Muawiyah started from Sham. The Battle of Siffin, which went on for 110 days. You see. So you can imagine how they engaged Mawla Ali. That finished, and the Kharijites started. All the 3 battles were won by Ali ibn Abi Talib. But at what cost? By the time things were calming down, raids started. Muawiyah started raiding. So he had to counter-attack and counteract against the raids. He used to send a party of raiders, just like looters, vagabonds, to loot people in the kingdom of Ali ibn Abi Talib. Till what happened, we will inshallah discuss on 19th night. And on 21st, when Imam Ali Salam bid this world farewell and went away forever, Imam Hassan became Khalifa. The moment he became Khalifa, the whole thing was changed. People were partly with, partly against. And when Imam used to ask that Muawiyah is still fighting and is not accepting me as a Imam after my father, let us rise and suppress him once and for all. People would not come. People, Imam Hussain Islam would go outside there, wait for the people to come so they can proceed. For so many days, so many weeks, only 40 people assembled. You can't fight with an army of 40, can you? The result was that he had to sign a truce. And I do not believe in Suluh, that is my own research, but I believe that there was a ceasefire. There could not be a Suluh, because Suluh means giving away something. And Imam Hassan could not have given away the kingdom. That kingdom is not kingdom, it is Khilafah. Khilafah is the property of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Muawiyah usurped it. And it was under pressure, because Muawiyah presented the paper. Ya Hassan, let us come to a ceasefire. This is why Shaykh Mufid alayhi rahmah and others have not mentioned Suluh. They have mentioned Hudna. Hudna is just ceasefire. There was no one to fight with. Those who were with the Imam, they hit Imam on his thigh with a sword. And they moved, they actually pulled this musalla from under him. All these problems Imam Hassan had to sustain. And he found that now if I fought with this sort of things, it is going to be just like spilling the blood of Muslims for nothing. It is said that Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi met Imam al-Hakim in Najaf before the revolution. And these two mujtahids were talking to each other, and you know, when the mujtahids talk to each other, it is at that level where we don't have to interfere. No other man can talk, because it is their way. It is their own talk. And there Imam al-Khomeini is reported to have told Aga Hakim that it is now for us to rise and declare, so that these Ba'athists and others may not be able to gain ground, and we must see that the Ummah rises. You give a fatwa. And it is true that Sayyid Hakim could have given a fatwa. Those who are Iraqis here, they know that Hakim actually ruled Iraq then. But the Iraqis who were with him, the people had no guns, no arms, they had swords to fight against the guns. So Al-Hakim said, Aga, sometimes we have to draw lesson from the life of Imam Hassan alayhi
salam.
To which it is reported that Imam Al-Khomeini said, then what about Hussein? Now who was right? I say both were right. The situation which was then in Iran, that was the situation to which Hussein responded. That was in Iraq, is that Hassan response. Here it was still too early. There was time to rise and he rose. So you rise according to situation, and this is the subtle directive which the Prophet gave. Al-Hasanu wal-Husayn imamani qama aw qa'ada. These are two, my grandsons are imam, whether they rise or they sit. This is the meaning of it. Now, when the Prophet was dying, that means on the bed of wafat, Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah ulama and our ulama have written that Fatima brought Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein, a young one. And he said, Ya Abata, Haza Ibnaya, these are my two sons, Warrifhuma. give them something in inheritance. So looking at Imam Hassan, he said, Hana lahu haybati, amma hada lahu jur'ati. I have given my personality, my charisma to Hassan, and I have given my courage to Hussein. Correct. This is the reason why people, even after the suluh, after having insulted Imam Hassan, after having deserted him, they used to say that whenever we sat in Medina with Imam Hassan alayhi salam, we thought we were sitting with a prophet. فَعَلَيْهِ بَهَاءُ النُّبُوَّةِ Because the personality was that of a prophet. And Rawandi writes that whenever they used to go to Hajj every year, when Baytullah became nearer and Makkah came closer, Imam Hassan would dismount from his camel and start walking. He always said that I don't like to go nearer the house of God on a horse or on the back of a camel. So he would dismount. With him dismounting, the whole kafila, whether they liked it or they did not like it, they all dismounted. That was the effect of his personality. And when he sat near his house after Namaz Subuh, just for fresh air, with his tasbih in his hand, people could not pass by. Whoever came there stood, just looking at him, till the whole lane was blocked, Imam would stand up and say, go to your business, and then go home. Nobody dared pass by when Hassan ibn Ali was there. That was his personality. Now they wanted to smear him. So they said, and this is something sorrowful, that they reported from Imam Ali, although Imam Ali never said this. Imam Ali said, never give your daughters to my son Hassan, because he marries every night and divorces second day. Na'udhu billah. Now I want you to use your common sense. Imam lived for how many years? 47. You know, Hassan lived for how many years? 47. Born on 3 Hijra, in 3 Hijra, wafat in 50 Hijra. 47. Let us take out 15 years till Buluwa. How many years remaining? 32. If an Imam al-Islam had 4 wives, 3 survived him. Now he wants to marry the 5th one. Let us take an example. You can, if you have 4 wives, and if you divorce one, you know what happens? As long as she is in her iddah, you can't marry, because she's still a wife. Do you know this? As long as she is in her iddah, that means 3 months and 10 days, she is considered to be still your wife. The luck has been read. But iddah, if she dies during iddah, you will inherit her. And if you die while she is in iddah, she will inherit you. Because she is still a wife. So a man who has got 4 wives and divorces one cannot marry the 4th one till that woman who is in iddah has been released of iddah. Do you understand the point? If this is understood, a man in 1 year can hardly marry 10 wives. Are you with me, what I say? You can't. And if she is a pregnant woman, while you divorce her, then her iddah will be when she delivers. So she is still your wife, the 4th one. You can't marry the 5th one till she has delivered. And this is a question of those who already have 4. Because that iddah applies to you also, she is still in your haq. Imam Hassan alayhi salam, up to 35 Hijra, the whole life was in turmoil. And thereafter, his father's civil war, and after all the problems that he went through himself, when was the time to marry those women, 12 in a year? And if He gave Mehre Fatima Zahra to each. It comes to 120,000 dirham. From where did he give the money? Ahlul Bayt did not have that money for so many years. This is something which is sensible. The fact is that even those who have written 350 wives, even they have named four, one historian has named 10, no one has been able to name the 11th one. No. A man who marries 300 or 250 wives, they say when Janaza of Hassan came out, 250 widows were actually hitting their heads to say, we have lost our ex-husband. All this fabrication in the name of Imam Hassan alayhi salam. And how many children did he have? So, by all the historians, it is written that he had 13. A man who was married 350 wives. At least every other one video produced. That is one thing. And second thing, Dr. Taha Hussain writes in his Aliyun wa Banu, Al-Fitnatul Kubra, that Hassan was Uthmani, that Hassan was pro-Uthman, anti-Ali ibn Abi Talib. And he used to cry over the death of Uthman, all the time, so much so, that once Imam Ali said, فَمَاذَا تَحِنُّ حَنَانَ الْجَارِيَةِ What happens when you are crying like a kaniz or housemaid all the time? And once upon a time, while he was doing wudu, Ali passed and said, Ya Hasad, أَصْبِغْ wudu'ak, do your wudu well. And Hassan said, why are you asking me to do wudu well? You have killed just now someone who was doing wudu better than I do. Taha Hussain, Al-Fitnatul Kubra, Ali ibn Abi. They tried all their ways to smear Hassan ibn Ali. So much so that Hitti now finally, in history of the Arabs, writes that Hassan ibn Ali died of tuberculosis because he had so many wives and he became sick and died of TB. Why? Because Imam Hassan alayhi salam is the link from Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam to Hussein ibn Ali. There is a link and they want to weaken that link. And thanks to Karbala and thanks to Hussein ibn Ali alayhi salam that he revived not only Islam but the concept of Imamah. That my brother Hassan did what was right then. If I were in his place, I would have done the same thing. And if he were in my place today, he would have responded the same way. Now, as opposed to this, Ali ibn Abi Talib, salawatullahi wasalam alayhi, knew what was coming. In order to impress upon the people, as to my son Hassan, is not an ordinary person, that he is going to succeed me as an imam. Whenever any questions arose, he would say, Ya Hassan, answer them. Allah. Sometimes when I read about our Mawla Hassan alayhi salam, he entered the mosque whenever, and he started the prayers, he say, Ya Muhsin, qad ataka al-musi'. Every time. Oh, generous and righteous one, the sinner has come before you. Every time. And when he went for ihram, he said, labbaik, and then tremble. And somebody would say, why this? He said, maybe the answer might come from there, la labbaik, la sa'daik, not acceptable. Not acceptable, I don't want you here. I say, labbaik, my Allah, may not accept him. This is Imam alayhi salam going to give us that lesson. Ya Muhsin qad ataka al-musi. O generous one and righteous one, the sinner has come to your door and threshold. Hasan ibn Ali. Once Imam Ali Islam told him, Ya Hasan, go and buy a small lamb, halal lamb. He went and brought a lamb, but not very fat, lean, thin one. Imam Al Islam smiled and said, Ya Hasan, it's a thin lamb, very thin, emaciated. I have got guests here. You should have brought some suitable for table. It's very emaciated. I told you to bring Tahir one, you brought it. He said, Ya Abba, I went to look for Tayyib,